Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is alive and mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He thinks of all things, everything that's good and true. Those are the gifts He gives us. Those are the gifts and blessings that come from Him. The Lord our God operates from the heart. And we're supposed to operate from the heart as well. He has so much to say, so many good things to share. And he does everything from the motive of love. There's nothing the Lord our God will do without the counsel of His love, wisdom, and purity, His holiness. Everything is done out of love. Every guidance, everything. Many people are looking for the next move of God and how things are going to go. They're concerned about prophecy, how far we are to the rapture, what's going to happen to the world. But remember, the Lord loves every soul. And He knows how to evaluate everyone. He knows those who are His and He knows those who are not. And we can't tell. It's hard for men to know tares from wheat. It's not impossible, but it's unlikely. Now, in Revelation, Jesus commended those that knew that they realized some people that were that said they were apostles were not. And some people said they were Jews and they were not. Now, people can know things. But we really can't judge a person's heart like God can. God can. So in all of our trusting, we need to trust the Lord in all that He says, everything He gives us. Everything is very important. And with that in mind, the Lord will not make a false evaluation. See, when He calls us to the ministry, I cover many times, the Lord had me covering many times how always trust what the guidance of God in your life and what He gives you to do. That's very important. He's prepared you and designed you to do the things He's given you to do. And with His wisdom, you'll do it well. And it'll be beyond, far beyond your expectation. And so we have to believe in what we're doing. So in whatever the Lord reveals, we have to believe it just like something that we would desire. A man that had a family and he didn't like his job. He needed a better job. He may have been introduced to more responsibilities. Let's say he got married. They already had children. And then his sister-in-law or brother-in-law may die, get arrested. And then he has to raise their children. Now he's got more responsibilities. So he's believing God for a much better job so that they can live and do things and not work all the time. So he's desperately after that better job or work situation. And some people are they've been in an apartment and they want to move, they want their own house, they have plans to make their house nice, and they watch things on TV how people make their houses nice, and they really desire these things from the heart. Well, they have to believe God for that. And so their faith is involved. This is desperate to them. They need it and they desire it. It's part of their goals and dreams. And it's something they've desired a long time. It's not a whim. It's a real desire from the heart. Well, they have to take God at His word and believe God and receive those things. Well, it's the same thing when God calls us to the ministry or when He gives us something to do, any form of an assignment. All the things that He shared with us, we have to receive it. And sometimes people don't receive what God is trying to give them. Now, if there was no interference, more people would receive what God is doing in their lives. There would be more people who would believe God, take Him at His word, cherish His word, if there was no interference. But the Bible is not written in a way that suggests for a moment that we are without interference. Now, Paul talked about how he was on assignment to do something, and Satan hindered him. And he used his people. In Paul's day, he used the Jews because they didn't believe on Jesus. And wherever the gospel was preached and people started getting saved, Satan activated his Jews. And I say his Jews because they were not of God. God didn't send them to harass people, but Satan did. That's why everything that's not in us, if we don't give it to God, if we don't, whatever we believe, if it's not sanctioned by the Word of God, if it's not according to the root meaning of God's Word, Satan can use it against the cause of God. And he'll use anybody who will yield in any way, form, or fashion. So, along with our wonderful belief system in Jesus Christ and His Word, His perfect Word, there are misnomers. There are beliefs that came from the doctrines of devils, the seducing spirits, that have fit, they crept into the church with the false prophets and false teachers. Men of pride, basically. And they taught things that sounded good. Remember the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, the knowledge of Satan sounds good. He present to you the pretty side, the bait side, not the hook side. And false prophets are no better. You know, there are many prophets who prophesy the blessings and how God's going to bless us and help us and suddenly bless us. And that's true. But he's also judging the world. True prophets show us how to, it guides us to repent and go back to the heart of God's will. That's one thing that true prophets will do. Now, if there's no repentance, and there needs to be, you're not going to get the blessings of God. And God is good, but he sends rain to the just and unjust. But the blessing that I'm talking about is peace. You can get all these wonderful items, but there's no peace to the wicked. So when we need to repent, we need to be repenting so that we can enjoy our peace, the blessing of peace. You can't start committing fornication, adultery, homosexuality, stealing and lying and think you're going to operate in the peace of God. And sometimes those are the very things people are doing that's hindering their blessings in the first place. And some preachers don't address it. Now, if the congregation, if it's not there, it's just not there, which is wonderful. Now, that's optimal. But in most cases, it's not probable. And if it is optimal, then the Holy Spirit will be able to rest on that ministry. When people are doing things the right way, they become a ministry that the Holy Spirit can rest upon. Now, every person who yields himself to the Lord lives a clean life, a life that loves others, a life that loves God, loves man. Their mind is on redemption. And if there's anything that offends, they quickly deal with it, especially when it's in themselves. The first war you got to win is in your own being, in your mind. And you have to renew your mind. And that can be a battle, but it's a winnable battle. Now, when people do these things, the Holy Spirit will rest on that person. And when the influence of the Holy Spirit is great and people love the sweet presence of the Holy Spirit and they desire and pray for those in need and they care about others, even that don't like them, and they pray for those who despitefully use them, they contend for the faith, they protect the weak, they strengthen those who are growing, they minister life to God's people, they raise their children in the Lord and protect them, and the fathers provide for their homes, they're living a life that attracts the Holy Spirit. And then they're very thankful. Now, those those are people that God can rest upon. And if the whole church get to that point, the Holy Spirit will rest on that ministry. And they'll begin to see the sudden moves of God. They'll begin to see people get healed and blessed and transformed. And they'll be able to, they'll see God move in a way that others don't. And when they in such a congregation, you'll see a mighty move of God, and prophecies will come forth. And if there's something coming, the Lord will warn. See, the Lord responds different when people appreciate Him in spirit and in truth. Now I've been in many services, and the greatest services is on Monday night and Sunday night. That's when the most dedicated people show up, because they love God and they want to learn all they can about Him. They're not just trying to get something out of God. They go because they love God and they want to know Him. And they want to know what they can do to help. And whenever they're asked to do something, they do it with joy. And see, when that happens, you know, your joy can become full as you operate in that kind of love. In faith. Faith is the highest form of sincerity. And so when things are in order, you're attracting, your life is attracting the Holy Spirit. Your heart is yielding to the Holy Spirit. And those who become yielded to the Holy Spirit will rest upon them. And He won't leave or forsake them. Now, the Word of God shows us that the Holy Spirit will never leave or forsake us. But men do leave and forsake the Holy Spirit. Wish they didn't. And they know better. And when they get upset, frustrated, aggravated, worried, getting in fear, getting in pride, they always forsake the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And they forsake Him too. And they don't even want to hear His Word when they get like that. But those who grow in the Lord, they learn greater things. They learn how to manage their heart. The last broadcast, we talked about how the Word of God is a charge. And it charges your heart so that you will be stable. That's where your faith comes from. Every attack of Satan is after what makes you strong in the first place. And that's your steadfast faith in the Lord. And he tries to change your focus onto something that's aggravating you. See, if something goes wrong in your life, if an attack happens and your body gets sick, or people on the outside start troubling your children, anything. You get surprise bills and you barely can't pay the ones you have. Those problems may come, but it's not the end of everything. That's when you're going to need the counsel of God. That's when you'll need His wisdom. He'll show you what to do in your case. If you can be at peace and in faith, don't focus on the problem itself, no matter what it is, no matter how bad it is. Don't consider that. Consider the Word of God. That's called looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Can you go by the Word under pressure? Can you operate according to what the Word of God say when your spouse is talking about leaving and divorcing and they're not happy anymore? Don't look at them. Look at God. Don't ever look at them. Don't ever let them be your focus. Even if they repent and start acting right or acting favorable, don't look at them then either. Look at the Lord. Don't look at your success. Don't focus on that. Focus on the Lord. Don't focus on the needs of your children. Focus on the Lord. And all things that you need will be added. And even the things you desire can be added. But if your focus changes, you're going to change with it. And Satan's out to something else. He's out to something else. He's trying to get us over in the forms of deception, but he's after rebellion. He's after, his witchcraft is to get you to rebel against God. And that's how his witchcraft works. It's deception. It's lies. Lies, deception, envy, jealousy, all that's just witchcraft. It's no different than rebellion. And he wants your deception to turn into rebellion. He wants your focus to get off track so that he can worry you and you'll lose strength. And then if you get in fear, then he's attached to your life. Don't feel the worst. Don't look at the problems. Don't look at the people. The love of God. Love his people. Love him. But see the word of God and operate according to his heart. You'll be fine. You'll win. No matter what happens, you won't change and you'll go forward. And then you'll regain whatever the enemy tries to cause you to lose. And then you need to cause him to lose something. And that's souls. See, always get your revenge. People don't pray for their revenge. Now, God said, vengeance is mine. All right, well, I tell the Lord you want him to take vengeance on them. When the enemy aggravate me, I say, Lord, that's going to cost his kingdom. I want some souls. Help me win souls. I do it every time he aggravate me. If he attempt to bother me, I pray for folks. I think of 10 or 15 people I want to pray for and pray for them earnestly. And when I minister these broadcasts, sometimes the Lord is blessing me to win souls because the enemy is after God's heritage. And God wants to win them anyway. But I want him to help me win even more than I would have. Revenge is good. Revenge is the justice of God, but it's not for me to take vengeance on men. I want to get men saved. I don't want to hurt anybody. I'd rather take a loss than kill somebody. But when it comes to Satan, I can't kill Satan. But if he can aggravate me, I can aggravate him too. I don't like Satan and he don't like me. We have nothing in common and we don't agree on anything. And I even prayed and asked the Lord, I said, Lord, help me make sure that I don't agree with Satan on nothing. I said, I don't even want to smell like him. I said, when I'm in your presence, I don't want that to be anything in me that reminds you of that bum. He's a parasite. That's what he become because he hated the ways of God. And he went after the ways of pride just like men do. Now that's where false doctrine comes from. That's where the hindrances originate. And there are patterns set by false teaching. And it's out there. And sometimes it's mixed into a message just like, you know, you go to a restaurant and order soup. It's all kind of stuff in there. Some of the things in that soup you may love and some of it you may not like so much. But it's almost impossible to separate what you don't like, so you just eat all of it. Well, that's how messages are. Now, men go before the Lord and preach exactly what he gives and don't add to it and don't take away from it. It'll be a pure message. It'll be like eating steak and potatoes and something you love to eat. There'll be no taint in it. There'll be no rutabagas in it. Nothing that you don't want. But when you get soup, you get all of it. And the Holy Spirit will help you realize what's of God and what's not. I had a dog that, you know, he would eat the leftovers. And there would be vegetables in there. And sometimes ketchup. And all he wanted was the meat. And he didn't want any vegetables and he didn't want any salad. And my dog used to be able to eat the meat and he'll lick up all the ketchup. And when you look in his bowl the next day, there'll be no meat, but there'll be vegetables. There'll be remnants of salad, beans, everything that wasn't meat was in the bowl. There would be no meat and no ketchup. No matter how you did it, that dog knew how to separate what he loved from what he hated. And that's how we become. See, those kind of illustrations you'll never forget. It's too crazy. And so the Holy Spirit is the only one that can help you decipher his word from the lies of this world. Even when people preach error, you'll know it ain't right. That's something wrong with that. And if you're not sure what, sometimes you won't be sure what it is, and you just pray and ask the Lord to show you, and he will. We need to stop the progress of the enemy by operating in the light of God's word. And we need to do that suddenly. And when people are after God's heart, you're going to learn things properly. Some people just want to preach the good side, the blessed side, and leave out the warfare and repentance and pretend that sin won't kill you. Sin will kill anybody that partakes of it. See, if your focus changes, if when people look at people and they desire a crowd and they look down on a small congregation that's just hungry for the word of God. They want to see a lot of people. I don't mind a lot of people. I love a lot of people. I want everybody to be saved. Wish everybody went to church. Fill up every church. But the Holy Spirit will rest where people love his word. Sincerity attracts sincerity. And the other side of that truth is this. Hypocrisy attracts hypocrisy. Just like sincerity attracts sincerity. Deception attracts deception. Now watch this one. Rebellion attracts rebellion. Whenever children start rebelling, they start hanging with people who rebel. People who are mad at something. If they don't get it fixed, they start disassociating with people that's trying to do right. And they start hanging with people that condone what they're doing. That's why the old proverb was coined, birds of a feather flock together. So it is spiritually. Sincerity attracts sincerity. The first time a preacher hear a sincere preacher preach, if he loves the world somewhere, he's not going to hang around that sincere preacher long. He's going to start finding reasons not to hang around him or invite him back to the church or whoever it is. When they come and preach, they're going to make sure that they ease out. I don't even like teaching things like this, but when you follow the Holy Spirit, you learn things. You see things for what it is. And we don't have to make excuses for people. We love people, but people set their own pace. They do things the way they want to do it. And the Holy Spirit has to deal with it. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. And just like God is on fire and moving by his Spirit to be a blessing to those that love him, he has to do something about the deception of people in people and the rebellion in people. Even though he loves them, his plan is still faithful. And he's organizing people to do what's necessary that he may win as many people as possible. But if they won't come, then he won't make them. But he won't stop loving them. But they chose not to follow him. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you truly. And Jesus is our Lord.